Okay. New Perek. More about Kiddushin. This Perek is kind of going to be a miscellany a little bit of various dinim about Kiddushin that we haven't discussed yet. Because most of the fourth Perek, very little of the fourth Perek is going to be about Kiddushin per se. Most of it is going to be about Yosin, as we'll see. Well, the end of it a little bit is about Kiddushin again. But yeah, okay. Mishnah starts out. If somebody says to his friend, say the Kaddish that you should play, go and be the Kaddish such and such a woman for me. And the guy went with the Kaddish for himself.
Instead of
for the Mishalach. Mekudesh is the Sheni. She's Mekudesh to the second person. Okay, Tosis asks what's the Kiddush in it. Tosis gives the answer. Let's say, for example, the Shliach had previously been talking about when he first came. Tells the woman that Pliny, Reuven, sent me to be Mekadesh you, and they're talking about it. Then in the course of the conversation, he says, Ariad Mekadesh is Lee. And she knows, now assuming that she knows that he means himself, if she thought he meant Reuven, then it wouldn't be a valid Kedushin. But if she knows at that point that he actually intends to be Mekadesh for himself, we're not going to say that Ariad Mekadesh is Lee really means Ariad Mekadesh is continuing what I said originally, that I'm coming on behalf of Reuven. That I, the Shliach, I'm coming on behalf of Reuven. No, we don't say that. Since she understood it to be to Shimon, and he himself said Ariad Mekadesh is Lee, that's all we need. Various other Mepharshim talk about various Rishonim, talk about other possibilities of what the Chiddush is, one of them being that he acted in an unethical way, as the Gemara is going to say. Nevertheless, we're not Mevatel the Kiddushin.
Are you saying the Shliach is not capable of doing the Shliach?
No, the Gemara is going to say it's an unethical thing to do. V'chein ha'omer l'isha, similarly, if somebody says to a woman, Hare'at Mekodesh is l'acha shloshim yom, you are Mekodesh to me after 30 days, so he says to her on Rosh Chodesh Nisan that you will be Mekodesh to me as of Rosh Chodesh year, meaning that for the next 30 days we're not Mekodesh at all. Ombarach of a kitchen of a sech shloshim yom, somebody else comes in as a Kaddish during those 30 days, Mekodesh is l'sheni, then she's Mekodesh to the second person, because during those 30 days there was no Kiddushin at all that were in effect with the first Kiddushin. Wait. Because we're going to have another case. We're going to have another case in the Mishnah. That's not that is. But, and therefore, Bas Yisrael Lakoyan Terechah B'Truma. Therefore, if she's a Bas Yisrael, who the second person who came in was Mekadosh her with a Koyan, she would be able to eat Truma. Okay, maybe not Midrabanan, because we learned back in Sobos that an Arusa is not allowed to eat Truma Midrabanan for the two reasons that we talked about then. No, we're talking about an Arusa. But Midaraisa should be able to. Because there are a few possibilities. First of all, again, it's in contrast to the next case that the mission is going to bring. But besides that, also, before we should talk about, you shouldn't think that maybe there's some kind of suffix over here. No, we're saying it's an absolute badai, it's an absolute 100% for sure thing. The Rambam seems to have a gears to the other way around, by the way. The Rambam, well, that's what we're saying. If it were badai, then we would say that she shouldn't eat truma because of the suffix involved. But since we're saying that she can eat truma, and we're saying definitely mekudesh is l'sheni, in other words, we might have thought mekudesh is l'sheni means, okay, b'chumra she's mekudesh to the second guy. She needs a get from him to be on the safe side. But no, we mean absolutely 100% mekudesh to the sheni, not to the Rishon at all, nothing doing with him, and therefore if the sheni is by the koyin. The Rambam has a different girsa in it, by the way. His girsa is the other way around. Bas koyin li yisrael, terecha b'truma. Again, the point being the other way around, even though she's a bas koyin, the first guy who said Hareat Mekudesh in 30 days is Yisrael, you would think maybe she's possible as of now meeting Truma because she's already Arusa of Yisrael. No, because she's not his Arusa, that's the point. She's 100% not his Arusa until the 30 days are over. And meanwhile, if somebody else comes and Kaddish her during those 30 days, then yes. On the other hand, Me'ach Shaval Achash Loshim Yom, what if the guy says, I'm the Kaddish you as of now and after 30 days? That's more ambiguous. It means, in other words, that 30 days from now, it'll be retroactive to now. Or Bach of a Kitchen of a Seth Shloshim Yom, and therefore somebody else is the Kaddish during those 30 days. Mekudesh is Ve'ena Mekudesh. Then she's Mekudesh and not Mekudesh. Well, what it means, we'll talk about later on in the Gemara on the test on the bays, and we'll have three-way machlokas on what exactly. Because what that means is, we have that kind of expression all over the place in the Gemara. It means that he's saying it starts now, the process starts now, but it takes 30 days for it to complete. So during those 30 days, in other words, it's incomplete. The Kedushin has not yet fully taken effect. At the end of the 30 days, it'll fully take effect. But that means, so again, McMurray's going to talk about the possibilities. Is it that there's a suffix during those 30 days? Is it maybe that during those 30 days, the condition is not a full, is it that there's still room for another condition? So Michal, we'll talk about the machlokes Rav, the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan on the subject. So we'll get there. Okay. And therefore, since it's Mekudeshes v'ein Mekudeshes, Bas Yisrael l'Koyin, a Bas Koyin l'Yisrael, so whether it's a Bas Yisrael who is Mekudesh now to a Koyin, meaning that one of these two suitors, one of these two people who was Mekadesher, the Ma'akh of Alat HaShloshim Yom guy, and the guy who was Mekadesher within the 3 days, outright. Right. So if either one of them is a Koyin, or a Bas Koyin l'Yisrael, or she's a Bas Koyin, and either one of them is Yisrael, lo teichah b'terumah, she can't eat terumah, because one way or the other, you can't be, there's a suffix, or again, there's a kedushin, but there's not a kedushin, whatever, as we'll talk about in the Gemara. And again, the point is, before we say, even let's say, for example, the case of Bas Koyin l'Yisrael, imagine you have the case, for example, her father is a Koyin, she's a Bas Koyin, and one of these two guys is a Koyin as well. Nope, still no good, because the other guy is Yisrael, and it may be his kedushin that are the valid ones. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Ha'imel Chaver say b'kaddish. He tells his friend, go out and be b'kaddish. Tana. So we learn in a b'raisa. Masha also asuri. Okay. What's done is done. As the Mishnah had said, either the kedushin are valid. Elashanog b'nug ramos. But he acted in a dishonest. He acted in a dishonest, unethical way. And the Tana Didan, what about our Tana? He didn't say anything about the guy doing anything wrong. Nevertheless, Holach Nami Dikatoni, Holach Bramos. Still, we can infer from the expression that the Tana uses when the Tana didn't just say that the guy, he said, say the Kaddish, the Isha point is the kid Shalahatma. He adds the word Baholach, that he went and was Makadish for himself. Holach means Holach Nami Dikatoni, Holach Bramos. It means that he went in a dishonest way. Before Shem said, there's a certain association between the Shodash Holach and Rishus and the wrong way of doing things. As we say in at the beginning of Tillam, Ashreish, Asher Lach Holach, Bat Bat Shoy. So we see that Halucha implies going in the wrong way.
If the Shliach gets there first, who is?
Well, that's what we're talking about. The Shliach got there first. The Shliach went. He was Mekadesher for himself rather than for his Mishalayah. So we're saying it's an unethical thing to do. And then the Tana of our Mishnah is hinting at that by using the word Holach. And the Bryce spells it out explicitly.
How can you even consider the Kaddish first for himself when he was just on Shlichus?
Again, because that's to go, for example, with what Tosfos said. He talked with her, he came and told her, Reuven sent me to Kaddish. They get to talking about it. He sees LaMarshall that she is acceptable, so that she's open to the idea of being Kaddish to him, rather than to Reuven, the Mishalei. So he says, Hareat Mekudesh Asli. Okay. No. The question is, why is it in our Mishnah, it starts off by saying that he tells his friend to be Mekadesh, a woman for him. Well, why is it in the previous parak we had a case, we had a case where a person tells his shliach, go be Mekadesh for me, this woman, in such and such a place, maybe Mekadesh or in another place. We said that it's no good. Why over there does it use the expression shluchay, and here it uses the expression chaveri? The answer is Hacha Rabusa Kamash Malon Vahasam Rabusa Kamash Malon. In each place, the Mishnah by using the wording that it does is telling us a chiddush. Hacha Rabusa Kamash Malon. Rabusa means chiddush. Yeah. Hacha Rabusa Kamash Malon. Here the chiddush is as follows. Deikatanish Shlucha. If the Mishnah had said that he sent his shliach, have amina shlucha here to have it amai, then we would say, okay, you know what? He sent him as a shliach. That's being very dishonest, being the kaddisher for yourself. The Samchadaite, because after all, the Mishaleach had, he depended on him. He figured, look, I sent him as an official Shliach, he ought to be doing my Shlichus for me. So the fact that not makes him a Ramai, makes him a dishonest person. But you could argue that if he just sent a friend without formally appointing him as a Shliach, you might argue then that the Mishaleach never really had any mental guarantee. He never really had any for sure that this guy is going to accomplish his shlichus. You would think maybe it's not such a bad thing what Shimon did, that he was Mekadesher for himself. Maybe you can't even consider it Ramos. Therefore, the Mishnah uses the word to imply that either way, whether it's a chaver without being formally appointed a shliach or an actual formally appointed shliach, either way it's Ramos. It's a dishonest thing to do.
But she's Mekadesh.
But she's Mekadesh. Tosam Rav Osa Kamash Malon, and the Mishnah in the previous parak is also the case where he says Bimakadosh are in such and such a place. They're also by saying Shluchoi is a Chiddush. The Itana Omer L'Chaver, because if the Mishnah had used the expression over there that he says to his friend, Havamina Chaveru Kidshav Makamacha and Makudeshis. You know what? Yes, if the friend goes in and is Makadosh or someplace else, then she's not Makudesh. Disavar Loi Torah. Why? Because the Mishaleach might figure that, look, you know what? He's only doing it for me as a favor, as a friend to a friend. So I can't assume that he's going to bother to travel someplace else to be Mekadosher. Therefore, again, he may figure the smichus das is that he's willing to go to where I told him to go, but not to go out of his way. So therefore, you could argue that in that case, then already if he goes someplace else, then again, there's no smichus das on the part of the Mishaleach. The Mishaleach had no specific idea that he's going to go there. Therefore, you could argue you can't call that a shlichus. But if you sent him as an actual formally appointed shliach, the Torah, where then you could argue that it's a shliach's job to be matriach himself, that even if he didn't find her in one place, let him keep on looking at someplace else. You could argue that no, he didn't tell him in such and such a place as if to say dafka here and no place else. He's telling him just here's where you're likely to find her, but if you don't, then you as a shliach are obligated to travel until you find her. Kamash Malan, no, therefore it uses the word shluchai to say that either way it doesn't make a difference. You told him such and such a place, therefore it has to be in that place, and if it's any place else, then it's not a valid kiddushin.
Regardless
whether it's a chaver or shliach. And the reason we talked about the previous perek is, again, because the guy may have friends in that place, where Dafka in that place, where that way if people badmouth him to her, then his friends can defend him or whatever. So therefore, the wording in both Mishnayos is very precise.
If he said to Israel, Avamina Chavero, he dedicates of a Makamacher.
Yeah. If you trust friend, you could say you expect him to only go to one place, Shliach. You might expect him to go anywhere. That's the Kamash one. Okay. The Gemara tells a couple of stories, actually, that bear on the case in our Mishnah. Ravin Chasida, Ravin Machasida, on the side of it, he would bring the Girsa from Sefer Chasidim, Rav Amram Chasida. Anyway. He went to be Makadish. A wife for his son. Now, Tosfos immediately points out, we learned in the previous parak that it's chutzpahdik for a son to appoint his father a shliach. So we can't say that Ravin, or Rav Amram's son, officially told his father, be a shliach to be mekadesh this woman for me, because that would be chutzpahdik. What happened, rather, was that...
But if he went, she would be mekadesh.
Fine, but the, we can't assume the son would have done that in the first place. Rather, what it is that the father had told the son about this girl. The son didn't say anything, which implies that he accepted that this would be a good shidduch. So therefore, the father on his own goes with the son's tacit agreement, goes to be mekadesher. The son didn't actually tell him in so many words, be mekadesher, but he gave his tacit agreement to him.
Even if he gives you open agreement?
No, but if he could give his open agreement as well, but the point is that would be appointing his father a shliach, and he said it would be chutzpahdik for a son to tell his father, I can't be bothered, you go and find her and be mekadosh.
No, but if he says, I'm agreeable.
Yes, that's respectful. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, he was going to be mekadosh. Kidshul anafshe, but he ended up, Ravin or Rav Amram, ended up being mekadosh for himself. What do you mean? Well, Tanya Masha also Shinagba Mirgamos. What about what the Braisa is saying and the Mishnah is implying that it's a dishonest thing to do? You're not going to accuse Ravin or Rav Amram Chassida, the Chassid, of being dishonest. Yeah. The answer is Lo Yahavu Niale. The thing is that in this case they didn't want to give her in marriage to his son. So therefore, look, you know, they vetoed the Shidduch, her family. So therefore, look, you know, she's not going to be getting married to him anyway. Okay, the question
is anyway.
Well, Rav Amram or Ravin had gone to be Mekadosher. Her family was not agreeable to her marrying Rav Amram's son. So therefore, he figured, okay, look, you know, I want her in the family anyway, so I'll be Mekadosher.
It's favorable.
Wait, that's the question. That's the question. Ibayle la'udui. Fine, shouldn't he at least inform his son before he's actually Mekadosher? If nothing else, in order to clear himself from the suspicion of being a Ramai, of being a dishonest person. Yeah. The answer is, and also the Hamakna has another reason as well. He says, because after all, yes, the family turned the son down. If the son knew of that, he would have the ability, give him the option to go there himself and try to talk them into it. Like this, when his father was in the Kaddish show, that's it. She's permanently off limits to him. So why did he do that? The answer is, Sovar, because Rabin or Amram figured, Adahachi Vahachi, meanwhile, if I take the time to go back and inform my son, somebody else may come and be Makadasher. Again, you know, she's a good girl. Look, you know, I read her as a shidduch to my son in the first place. I don't want her to get away from us. So if the family is not agreeable to her marrying my son, and there's no time to go and inform him, then the less spirit, I'll be Makadasher myself. He asked for the son because that's he was going initially on behalf of his son. But when they told him no, he said, in that case, I'd like to be Makadasher for myself. And that they were agreeing.
Yes.
Who
said that? That
evidently that's what it is, because otherwise I believe in Makadasher either.
No.
So that's what it was then. So in that case, it's not Minhag Ramos, because in that case he felt he had no choice. She's not going to be willing. They're not going to be willing to marry her off to the son anyway. And if he just goes to ask the son to inform him, then somebody else may snap her up. Another case. Rabba Bar Bachana Yoiv LeZuzi LeRav. Rabba Bar Bachana gave money to Rav. Actually, there are Mafarshim who point out shouldn't be Rabba Bar Bachana, but rather Rabba Barchana, who was a generation earlier in the times of Rav. Rabba Bar Bachana is of a later generation. He gave money to Rav. Omar, he says to him, Zabna miyali lahai ara. Go buy this particular plot of land for me. Ozel zobna lanapshe. Rav went and bought the land for himself. Again, the question is, Valtanya masha also asel shenog b'minog ramos. So what about the minog? Relax. You know, don't accuse. Yeah, you know, come on. Don't go accusing the Amoraim of doing something terrible before you've heard the rest of the story. Yeah.
As it appears.
Shoshanogahatapara. Why not Shoshanogahatashar? Come on, you got to learn the next line. Okay. So what happened to Minagramos? The answer is, now, the Gemara could have answered the same as before, that they didn't want to sell it. The Gemara puts it a little bit differently because they knew the details behind the story. So they knew it's not a terrible situation. They knew the rest of the story. Namely, Bogadalimi Havale, it was a valley, an area of a field that belonged to strong, tough type people. Boga means valley, which has a lot of fields in it. Dalimi of strong, powerful people. Bibali Zroya, Rashi says, powerful people, people who have muscle behind them. They don't just allow anybody to go buy property in their area.
Yidden,
therefore, the Rav Nagid they covered, Rav they treated with respect, and they would be willing to sell in the field. Ladaba Babachono, why Nagid they covered, Rav Babachono, Rav Babachono, whatever. They didn't treat with respect, they wouldn't have been willing to sell in the field. So again, therefore Rav figured that in that case, then the rule that it's Minig Ramos doesn't apply because he wouldn't have been able to buy it on behalf of Rav Babachono anyway. Okay, again, the question is, fine, again, let him inform Rav Bachana before he buys the field for himself. And again, the answer is, he's figured, meanwhile, by the time I go to check it out, also, someone else will come and buy it. Same idea. Okay, before we talk about why didn't Rav just turn around and sell it to Rav Bachana afterwards, the next case in the Gemara may bear on that, because the next case in the Gemara is also involving the sale of a field, which the person who ended up buying it didn't want to sell it to the next person.
Right.
Yes, it happens. Also true, yeah, he was only going on Rav Bachana's shlita in the first place, yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Another case. Rav Gidol have a mahapas badiara. Rav Gidol.
There was something like that, that people took houses that were on the list. I heard of other people who had reserved them.
So we're going to talk about that in a second. But again,
it depends
so if you have the extenuating circumstances that we're talking about over here, where they wouldn't be willing to sell to you anyway, that's different. But yeah, otherwise, yeah. So the next case, Rav Gidol have a mahapas badiara. Rav Gidol was trying to acquire a certain property. Mahapach literally means he was turning over. Rashi says mechazer acharei. No, that's actually the next one. Yeah, mechazer alei leknosei. He was running out to try and get it. He was trying to work out a deal in order to buy it. Also, Rav Abba zavna. Meanwhile, Rav Abba went and bought it. Also, Rav Gidol kabli le Rav Zera. So Rav Gidol went to complain to Rav Zera because Kibble, Rav says, Sipper Sakosel Rav Zeira. He went and complained to Rav Zeira because he knew Rav Zeira will be able to assist him in Rav Zeira, the colleague of Rav Abba, and that way he'll be able to get involved over here and get something accomplished. Also, Rav Zeira, Vakabli, Rav Yitzchak Nachpa. So Rav Zeira went in turn and told this story to Rav Yitzchak Nachpa, who was their mutual Rebbe. So he's Rav Abba's and Rav Zeira's Rebbe. Because like this, the Rebbe can have an influence on the topic. I guess Rav Gidol himself didn't feel comfortable approaching Rabbi Yitzchak Nachpa directly, so he had to use Rav Zeira as a go-between. Anyway, Amalei, so Rabbi Yitzchak Nachpa told him, Hamten at Shiala Eslein L'Regel. Wait until Rav Abba comes to us for Yom Tov. Rashi says when they were darshaning on the halachos of Yom Tov during the month before Yom Tov, then during that time Rav Abba would be coming to the yeshiva to greet his Rav, to greet his Rebbe and learn from him. So at that point, we'll take it up there. Tisolik, so when Rav Abba came to the yeshiva, Ashtuche, he found him, and Rav Gidol, that is, found him. Or Rav Yitzchak Nachpa, Rav Yitzchak Nachpa, that is, found him. Omalei, so he asks him, let me ask you a question, halacha. Oni mehapich b'charora. If you have an oni who is trying to acquire a charora, charora means a loaf of bread that's baked on the coals. It's like a loaf of bread, let's say, something useful, a useful object. Rashi says either we're talking about from Hefker or that the Balabais should give it to him. So he's trying to finagle to be able to get it from Hefker. He's trying to finagle that a Balabais should give it to him. Tosfos discusses the pros and cons of it, and Tosfos says that actually we're not talking about a matter of Hefker. We are talking about, for example, that he's trying to get a certain job in order that he can earn that harara for his pay. Whatever. So whatever the circumstance is, so he's trying to do that. Obach of Anotla Himenu. Meanwhile, somebody comes and takes it away. Again, so if it's Hefker from Rashi, somebody else got it from Hefker first. If it's the case, like Tosfos, that he's trying to get a job and somebody else went and instead already got the Harora for the same job or for some other reason or whatever. My, what would be the din of such a person? Amalei, so Rav Abba tells him, Nikra Rasha. Such a person is called a Rasha.
But he still acquires it.
Right, he still acquires it, but he's called a Rasha for doing that. It's true, the Oni did not make any kind of formal kinyan on it, so therefore you can't say that it's an actual gezel, but it's an underhanded thing to do. Okay, well, given that, Rabbi Yitzchak Nachpa says, Ve'elamah my time of Avatachi, nu, what about you? Why did you buy that field if Gidol was trying to acquire it? Amalei, so Rabbi says, Loi Hava Yadina. I taka didn't know Rabbi Gidol was trying to get it. Okay, so Rabbi Yitzchak Nachpa tells him, Hashta Nami Neith Ve'ne'elamah. Fine, why don't you sell it to him now? On the way, so Rav Abba says, Zabuni loyim zabninala. The name means give it. Yeah, okay, fine. Neisvini alamah means give it to him. Okay, so he says, fine, there's two ways I could give it to him. I could sell it, transfer it to him, yeah. I could sell it to him or I could give it to him as a gift. So look, Zabuni loyim zabninala, I don't want to sell it to Arakamaisihi because this is the first piece of land I ever bought. It's not a good simon to sell the first thing you ever bought. It's not a good simon, so I don't want to do that. But you know what? If he wants to take it as a matana, fine, I'm willing to give it to him as a matana. However, what ended up happening is Rav Gidol did not want to take it, did not want to go into such a field. As the Pasuk says in Mishlei, a person who hates gifts will live. So he didn't want to take a gift from Rav Abba. Rav Abba
Leinokas.
No, it means any kind of gift. The Gemara mentions it in a number of places that if other things being equal, you're better off not accepting gifts. That's different. There's a mitzvah, matanas gadyanim, and the avyonim themselves need it. But the Gemara talks about one of the references over here in the service of Shas is in Megillah, where it says over there, I think about it, it says about one of the chachamim, I can't remember now which one, that this is Talmidim asked him, in what zechus did you live long? And one of them is he says, I never accepted gifts from anybody.
Yes, there is.
So this particular thing is in Megillah. Yeah, there may be. Yeah, okay. Anyway. Rav Abba Anachasla, and Rav Abba did not want to go into this field and use it. Mishum Dehapichba Rav Gidol, because now that he found out that Rav Gidol had been trying to acquire it, and he got it now. It's true, Itaka didn't know, but he still didn't want to take advantage of the situation and use it. What ended up happening is, therefore, loy mao nachas lo, loy mao nachas lo. So neither one ended up going into it, which actually Ben Yehoyada says, the reason why the Gemara is repeating it is, he says, what happened? So after, for example, okay, so we're saying Rav Gidol didn't want to go into Sonim HaSonis yet, Rav Abba didn't want to go into because of his reason, because Rav Gidol had gotten there first. But now, after that, so let's say, for example, we see that Rav Abba totally does not want the field at all. So the Talmidim went to Rav Gidol. Look, you know what? Rav Abba totally does not want this field. You taking it would not be a matter of a matana. You should go ahead. And he still refused. And similarly, Rav Abba. Rav Gidol is absolutely not willing to take it. He's absolutely relinquished any claim that he ever had to it. You should go ahead. And he still didn't want it. That's the point. So even after they argued back and forth, the Talmidim, to both of them, they still didn't want it. For Miskaria, Ariz the Rabbanon, so it wound up being called the field of the Rabbanon. It became Hesker for the Talmidim, and the Talmidim used it for their own uses since it was Hesker. And actually, I think Ben Yehoyada says that the reason they called it Ariz the Rabbanon, actually, he says no, it does not mean that the Talmidim used it. It means it was called after, it was named after forever after, it was named after these two Chachamim, Rav Abba and Rav Gidol, the field of the Rabbanon, in order to remember their schus of how above board and how honest they were with each other.
That's a big lesson. Yeah. Because that these things happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Okay. The Mishnah says, "V'chayna omer l'ishei skadshli kolah." We said a case of a man says to a woman, "Be mekodesh to me after 30 days." Somebody else is mekodesh or during the 30 days. We said she's mekodesh to the second one. Now the question becomes, "Loy ba'achav b'kidsh b'sed shloishim mahu?" What happens if somebody else is not mekodesh her during the 30 days? In other words, he gave her money for kiddushin at the beginning. At the end of the 30 days, that money doesn't, or whatever it is that he gave her, no longer necessarily exists. Do we say that the Kedushin are no good then, because at the end of the 30 days when they're supposed to be Chal, the object doesn't exist? Or no, maybe it goes based on the original. So, Rav Shmuel Dami Tavayr, so Rav and Shmuel both say, Mekodesh, Esraf Bishnes Akra Amos. No, she is actually Mekodesh at that point, at the end of the 30 days, even if the money has been used up. Incidentally, by the way, I should mention,
it seems logical if it's been used up, but if it hasn't been used
no,
up.
No, but it hasn't been used up and there's no Kedushin in it, obviously, if you get. Then that should be Mekodesh. The Chiddush is that even he gave her a Prutta. By the time the 30 days have passed, she's long since spent the Prutta. Nevertheless, she's still Mekodesh. By the way, actually, a couple of Rishonim have an interesting discussion. What about if somebody else is Mekodesh her during the 30 days, and then still within the 30 days, that guy dies or divorces her? Do we say that the original person's kedushin are able to be chal now at the end of 30 days? Because after all, at the end of 30 days, she's not an eishes ish anymore. Or maybe not. Maybe once the second guy is mekadesh her, that's it. The first ones are over. It's machlokes rishonim. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. Okay. So the opposition is akbar mos. Even if all the money has been used up, nevertheless, the kedushin is still valid. My timer. Now, what is the reason? The reason is hani zuzi loyla milva damu v'loyla bekodin damu. Because this money is not like a milva, which if it was, then we learned a Mekadosh milva is no good. But like the pekodin damu, they're not like a pekodin either, where we learned in the previous perek that if you have a pekodin, he says, be Mekadosh to me with a pekodin, and then it turned out it was stolen or whatever, then if there's not a shava prutta left, then there's no fiducian. Here it's not even like that. Why is that? Look, pekodin loy damu. They're not like pekodin because pekodin b'rshusa demora kamas achli. Because pekodin, if it gets lost or stolen or what have you, it's in the possession of the original owner of the maskid. And here it's not. The hani b'rshusa dido kamas achli. Here it's her own money that she's consuming because once he gave it to her, it's hers outright. And the milva namu loy damu. Nor is it like a milva, like a loan, because milva like saw it. Now, because of a loan, we say the idea is as soon as you give a loan to a person, they're entitled to spend it on whatever they want. And therefore, there has to be, and therefore, the original money no longer exists. It's just you owe them a certain amount in return. Hani, return is kedushin, yavinun yala. Here he didn't give it to her as a loan. He gave it to her as kedushin. Therefore, you can't consider it a loan where if it's been spent, then it no longer exists. He gave it to her as kedushin. The kedushin are not chal for another 30 days. Fine, they're not chal for another 30 days. But during that time, it's not considered a milve. Next, let's ask another question. Loy ba'acha v'kitcha. Suppose that nobody else was mekadesh her during those 30 days. But let's say during those 30 days, she changed her mind. She said, I don't want to be Niskadish to you anymore. Mahu, what would be the date?
She's not Niskadish.
That's the question. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chizeres, Rabbi Yochanan says she can change her mind because Osi Dibur Mavatal Dibur, her speech, her statement, I don't want to be Niskadish to you, can cancel his original statement, Hareach HaKodesh Sli, in 30 days from now. Rish Lakish Amar Eine Chizeres, Rish Lakish says she can't change her mind because Loy Osi Dibur Mavatal Dibur, because her Dibur cannot cancel out his original Dibur.
But there was no Dibur initially. I mean, there was.
He said Hareach HaKodesh Sli.
But he said that was
fine. But the point is he said something. So therefore, at the end of the 30 days, that condition is going to be valid, as because she agreed to it at the time.
But
she changed her mind now. Tough luck.
Before the 30 days.
But at the end of the 30 days, still his original dibber is still going to be in effect. That you're Kurdish to me at this point. Her dibber in between saying I don't want. If she had said I don't want to originally, obviously there'd be no condition. But like this, when he originally said Harat Kodesh Lach HaShloshim, and she accepted, then Rav Shlokish is saying she doesn't have the ability afterwards to say make a dibur that's going to cancel that. The Gemara is going to say soon, it's not just a matter of dibur and dibur. I mean, with the Kedushin, there was actually a Maisa involved as well. There was the giving of Kedushin money. So we'll get to that in a minute.
So there's a difference between saying, you know, she accepted it initially, or she could have said, you know what, I'm going to think about it for 30
yeah,
days.
That if she had, then that, yeah. That would be different.
So his dibur or her dibur? I thought it's her dibur.
Her dibur can't be mevatel his
dibur.
Can't be mevatel his
dibur. It must be for the Kodesh Rashi.
Where is there her dibur? She doesn't say.
She agreed to the Kedushin.
Silently. Okay, yeah, you're right. I see. Yeah, Rashi does say she drops for the Kedushin. Okay. Maybe. I don't know. I mean,
maybe she didn't say anything.
Yeah, but that's, the point is that he says Rashi and Gittin uses the expression she distracts of the Kedushin, that she was willing to be Niskadish. So, yeah, she expressed some, like we said before, about the son and about the son and the father, that he may have just nodded his head, but that's, yeah. Okay, maybe. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan says that says to Rish Lakish, I have a contradiction to you. There's a case where a person appoints a shliach to take truma on his behalf and his produce. A Mishnah says, if bittel, what if he's mevatel that shliach? Im ad shalei toram bittel, ein truma ze truma. If he was mevatel the shlichus before the guy took the truma, then the truma that he takes is not considered valid truma. Now,
yeah, but there was no acceptance.
The dibur with diburu. Isn't that the case of dibur and dibur? First he says, I'm making you my shliach. Now he's saying, I'm canceling your shlichus because the dibur mevatel dibur. And so you see, a dibur can be canceled with dibur. There, by the way, you do have the dibur and the two dibur from the same person. Maybe that's okay. Maybe that's worth it.
But the shlichus was not accepted at the time.
No, it was. The guy, Reuben says to Shimon, take truma on my behalf. Shimon says, okay. He goes, and as he's on his way there to do it, Reuben tells him, you know what, forget about it. I mean, mevatel your shlichus.
Take truma on my behalf.
Take truma from my produce on my behalf. Yeah. And now he's canceling it. So off he did with mevatel dibur. The answer is shining. It's sinus most. The other issue is different when you have actual giving of kedushin to keep maisa domu. There you have, it's not just a matter of dibur. You have a maisa involved as well. Now, it's not chal yet, therefore, because it's only going to be chal in 30 days. So that's why Rish Lakish is calling it dibur. It's not, we're not saying dibur can't be mevatel maisa, because there hasn't been a full-fledged maisa. There was a maisa, and it's called maisa zuta. He did like a small kind of maisa by giving her the money, but it's not yet chal until 30 days are up. In the case of the truma, there's only a verbal statement. You be my shliach. And now, never mind, don't be my shliach anymore. So they're also dibur mevatel dibur, but dibur can't be
only dibur.
It's only dibur. You can't, dibur cannot cancel a dibur that's accompanied by maisa zuta.
Such as in the case
of Kedushin.
Where there was money exchanged.
Yeah. But loy also dibur mevatel maisa, therefore the dibur cannot come and cancel the maisa.
But here we're saying dibur canceling dibur. We're not saying dibur canceling maisa.
But so that's the thing. It's mainly dibur because the main thing is the statement hareach mekudeshes. There's a maisa involved as well, money exchanging hands. But that's a maisa zuta. It's not a full fledged maisa because it doesn't take an effect yet. Okay, but that's what Rish Lakish is saying.
Right.
Okay. Eifei next Rishonim says have another contradiction against Rish Lakish. Hashaleach Mishnah says in Gittin we learned it. Shaleach get l'ishto, if somebody sends a get to his wife, v'higia b'shliach, and he caught up to the shliach, or not even caught up, but he Rashi says that higia means even like he met him on the street. He wasn't even intending to meet him, but he happened to meet him. A sholach after shliach, or he sent another shliach to meet the original shliach. But amalei get shenasati l'cha batel, where he says the get that I gave you is batel. Harei a batel, then the get is batel. Okay, we learned over there. Wait. Okay, we looked over there that we said Rav Gamliel Azarkin made a takana that you're not allowed to be mivatel a get like that, not in the presence of the basin. And then, we're talking the original. B'chor nesinas get liyab shliach tekin nesinas mois liyad yishadami. B'chor the giving of the get to the shliach is no different than giving the money to the isha. Because Tony had raised a bottle, and yet you see that verbally you can be mivatel the shliach.
So what's the difference between the get and
the That's the question. The answer is chosam nami, because the difference is over there also kol kamad leimotik di to the yada, because it's different. As long as the get has not reached her, it's only dibur. There's no maisa yet. Giving the money to the woman for kiddushin, which is a maisa zutta, because eventually it will take effect after 30 days. Giving the get to the shliach, and we're talking about shliach halacha over here, who's standing in the place of the husband, that itself doesn't accomplish anything until it actually reaches the woman or her shliach. You can't even call it a maisa zutta, therefore.
But if it was a shliach that was sent by the woman, then it would. You could not take it.
Well, then we learned from Gittin, yeah. Once you give it to her shliach, yeah, you can't be involved. So therefore, dibur v'dibur. Therefore, I'll see dibur, mavato dibur. No problem. And his dibur can be mavato, the original dibur that I appointed him a shliach.
Because there was a
mice. No, because there was no mice. There was no mice. As opposed to the case of our Mishnah, where there was a mice as well.
It's not really dibur
v'dibur. That's Rish Lakish's point. That's the difference. Now Rish Lakish comes and says, I have a contradiction to Rabbi Yechonah. You're telling me that Osi Dibru Mavapal Dibru. But we have a Mishnah in it's actually a Braisa, in Kalim. And we learned this in a few places. We talked about this briefly the other day, that to a large extent, whether something is able to be Makabal Tumah depends on what you had in mind. If you have something which it could be used as it is in its unfinished state, or you could further process it or further decorate or whatever it is, then it depends on your machshava.
If
your machshava is that it's finished, then it can be makabel tumah. If your machshava is that you're still planning to do something else with it, then it's not. Yes. So the Mishnah says, or the Brais or whatever, kol kelim yodin l'dei tumah and machshava. Any keli can become is able to be makabel tumah just by thought alone. Meaning, again, if you decided, you know what, it's good enough, I'm going to start using it as it is, I'm not going to finish sanding it or painting it or what have you, it can already become the Kabbal Tumah just with that thought. They in Olam, they're Tumas and Elab Shinui Maisa, but they can only leave their ability to be the Kabbal Tumah only with a Shinui Maisa. You would have to actually do something to them, not just rethink that I'm going to further paint them or whatever. You'd actually have to do something to make them to make them no longer capable.
Even if you don't finish the keli?
To give an example, actually, there was an example that we learned way, way back in Shabbos. Let me see. It went something like this. If you had, for example, a bell that you originally decided, for example, that it was going to be a bell to attach to a person's garment. It's makabel tumah on that basis because it's meshamshei adam. Let's say, for example, after that you decided that instead you want to use it as a doorbell, you want to attach it to a door. Just thinking that I'm going to use it as a doorbell is not good enough. It's still makabel tumah. You actually have to do something, like attaching it to the door, in order for it to no longer be makabel tumah.
So you want to change the purpose of the keli, you have to do something.
You have to do something, not just think about it. But to make it makabel tumah, in the first place, let's say the original example in the Gemara there was that it was originally a bell that was used for an animal, which is not makabel tumah. You decided you want to use it as a decoration on your clothes, so that alone makes it makabel tumah. And then if you would decide you want to use it back for an animal or for a door or whatever, you actually have to do something to change it physically. And therefore, so the Braisa continues to summarize the basic idea is, Maisa moitzi midei maisa umyan machshava. A maisa can undo another maisa or a machshava. Machshava in metzia, lo miyan maisa, lo miyan machshava. Whereas machshava cannot undo a maisa, and it cannot even undo another machshava. No, it's exactly the same thing as we're saying, that a machshava cannot undo anything, not a maisa, certainly not even another machshava, but a maisa can undo anything, even another maisa. So again, you originally you originally modified the spell to make it suitable for your garment. That made it, that certainly made it be Makabel Tumah. Later on, you go and modify it, and you change the shape of it to make it fit on a door, then it's no longer Makabel Tumah. Okay, Rashi gives a different example over here involving sanding, whatever, it's the same principle. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Okay. So, Rish Lakish says to Rabbi Yechman, Bishleimim Yad Maisa Lemaska. Fine, I can understand why we're saying that Machshava cannot undo the effect of Maisa, Deloy of the Dibru Mavata Maisa. Very well. A Dibru can't undo a Maisa. Elam Yad Machshava Miatapik. Why can't one Machshava undo another Machshava? If according to you, Ofi Dibru Mavata Dibru, then by the same logic, Ofi Machshava Mavata Machshava. Why should a machshava not be able to undo another machshava?
A dibur is not a machshava. It's a dibur. It's like a maase.
Now, how is machshava like a maase? If anything, machshava is less than dibur.
No, no machshava. A dibur.
I'm saying a dibur is closer to maase. Fine, but that's the point. If you say that a dibur is able to undo another dibur, why should a machshava not be able to undo another machshava? They're both on the same level. What?
So you can't live in there. She could say, "I wasn't a kabbalist." You know what she said. I know you think. I don't know what you're thinking.
So what? If I think about this bell that I'm going to use it for my clothes, yeah. That alone makes it be Makabel Tumah. Yeah. Somebody else doesn't know that. Tough luck. They'll have to ask me. That's the argument. That's the argument. The answer is shiny machshava. The tumah to keep ma'aseh dai. It's different. Rishon answers. It's a special case with tumah that there's a gzeiras hakasuv that machshava is the equivalent of ma'aseh. Namely, this is like something that Rapapa explained. The Rapapa Rami, Rapapa pointed out a sphere. When the Torah talks about the Parashat Shemini, the dinim of how something becomes mukshar Makabel Tumah, in particular how food becomes able to be Makabel Tumah, we know it has to become wet with one of the seven liquids, Yad Shachat Dam. Now, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says over there, v'chiyutan mayim alzera, which means if water is placed on a seed, then the seed is able to be Makabel Tumah. But it's written in the Torah Chaser. The word Yutan is written without the vav. Therefore, Ksiv ki yitin v'karirin ki yutan. The way it's written in the Sefer Torah without Nekudas and without the vav, it could be read yitin. If he places water on the seed, then it's Makabel Tumah. The Korinan, what we actually read, is that when we read the Torah, we say ki yutan with a kubut under the yod, that it is placed. Now, yitin would mean that you actually do it. Yutan would mean that it happens on its own. So what is it? Okay, Tzad. Ki yutan dum yudki yitin. It means that the ki yutan, when it happens passively without your intervention, it has to be similar to ki yitin. It has to be similar to you doing it, meaning when there was your intervention. Namely, ma yitin dinichale, just like when you put water on it, it's something that you specifically wanted. You specifically wanted to get the seed wet. Therefore, yutan has to be the same thing. Attack, it does not have to be the water is deliberately put there by you. It can be that it's splashed on there, but it has to be the nichale. It has to be something that you approved of. And basically, the whole masechta machshirin, or much of masechta machshirin, is based on this whole principle.
From
this combination of ki yitin and ki yutan. So, for example, the Mishnayos over there in Masechta Machshirin and Seder Taharas have all kinds of different scenarios where you have something that got wet, that it did get wet, but it's not Lutzoyna. You wouldn't have wanted it to get wet. You would have rather that it did not get wet. And therefore, even though it was wet, it's no different physically, it's not Makabel Tumah, yeah. So we see that your Machshava can be considered a Maise. Your Machshava that you thought, I want this water to be on there, is the equivalent of Kiyitin that you actually went and poured the water on it. That we're talking about tumah. So therefore we see that when it comes to tumah, machshava is the equivalent of ma'aseh. Very well. Therefore, your later machshava that you know what, I changed my mind. I didn't want this thing to be wet after all, or I didn't want this bell to be used for my clothes after all, is not enough to make it. Is not enough to undo that original machshava which the Torah gave the power of ma'aseh. Okay. So that's an exception. You can't generalize from that to other places.
That's fine.
Well, yeah. Okay, so therefore, sort of Yechanan has been able to answer Rish Lakish's objection. Okay. So far, this was all version number one of the Machlokas of Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish. Now we're going to have version number two. Version number one was that they were arguing on the case in our Mishnah, the case where he says Hareat Mekudeshes is Achas Shloshim Yom, and we're asking, is she able to change her mind during those 30 days? Now, Rav Zvid masni lahashmai tzaha. Rav Zvid learned that this whole discussion of Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish was rather referring to a different case, a case that we're going to have later on the fourth parak, toward almost the end of the Masechta. The case is, the Mishnah says, "V'chein he shenasna rishus l'shlucha l'kadsha." The same thing it says: if a woman gives rishus to her shliach to be mekadosh her, so she sends the shliach to accept kiddushin on her behalf. V'halcha he v'kidsha etatma. Instead, then later on, she, after sending out the shliach, she went and accepted kiddushin on her own behalf. Im shalok kadmu. So then, if her kiddushin, it depends. What happened first? Im shalak kadmu, if her kiddushin came first, kiddushin of kiddushin, then her kiddushin are the valid ones, and the shliach are not. The im shal shlucha kadmu, but if the kiddushin of the shliach came first, and kiddushin of kiddushin, then her kiddushin are not kiddushin. It depends which one happened first. Now, the question
is, if
she was sent out a shliach on Sunday, later on that week, the shliach accepted kiddushin on her behalf, and she accepted kiddushin on her behalf. Which one came first? If the shliach was on Monday and hers was on Tuesday, the shliach took effect already on Monday. If hers was on Monday and the shliach was on Tuesday, then hers took effect, and the shliach are no good because she's ready. She's ready by Tuesday. She's ready in Eishes Ish. But now on that, you can ask the question: Loi kidsha asma? What happens? She was not makadosh herself, but mechazerava. But she changes her mind. She wants to be mevatel the shliach shlichus. Mahu.
Before
yeah. So that mahu. So then you have the question of what would be the din. So now, Rabbi Yechon Amar Chazeres versus Lakish Amar Ena Chazeres. The Pashto's bedibur, but it has to be bedibur. I mean, she verbally said to people, for example, that I'm mevatel the shlichus. Yeah. So again, Rabbi Yechon Amar Chazeres, Osi Dibur Mevatel Dibur, because her original Dibur, I'm making you my shliach, can be canceled by another Dibur, I don't want you as my shliach anymore. So then Rabbi Zid is learning that the same machlokas we had before applies to that thing. And again, the Gemara goes through a similar discussion to before, Esfer Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. Here it starts out that Rabbi Yechon is the one who objects to Rish Lakish. We said the case of Truma, Bittel, that if the guy is Mavatel, the Shliach of Truma, Imab Shle Torem Bittel Ein Truma Se Truma. So if he was Mavatel Shlichos before the guy went and gave the Truma, Ein Truma Se Truma, then the Truma is not a Truma, which shows that he's able to be Mavatel the guy's Shlichos. So why, by the same token, would you say that she can't be Mavatel the Shliach Shlichos? Amar Rava, Hocha, my skin can shakodam balabai, so taram as curious.
Rabbi Yochanan, what's
saying? Well, Rabbi Yochanan is asking Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish himself didn't come up with an answer, but Rava comes up with an answer in
on
a later generation
that,
to explain Rish Lakish's opinion, to explain that Rish Lakish is saying that Dibur cannot be Mavatel Dibur. In that case, how is the balabai able to cancel his shliach shlichus to take Truma? So Rava says, Hoch of Mayaskinen, the case we're talking about over here, Kuganchakodam Balabayas Vitorah Maskiria, is, for example, that the Balabayas himself, before the Shliach ever got there, went and took Truma himself from the pile of grain. Davale Maisa, then there's an actual Maisa. So then in that case, then there was a Maisa done, so in that case, then there's the Shlichos is Vatel. Well, one of them, of course, actually asked an interesting point, which is, of course, if the Balabayas already took Truma, what's there left for the Shliach to do anyhow? The Truma's already been taken. And so he answers that you could have a case, let's say the balabai is only to half the amount of truma that's supposed to be taken. So you might think, still, the shliach can still be doing the other half. But no, since the balabai is a maisa by which he showed that he does not want this guy to be doing the truma anymore, he did half of it. Okay, at some point he'll have to come back and do the other half. But the shliach himself can't do it.
That's according to?
Yeah, one of the achronim brings that answer. I don't remember the name of it. They bring also from the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi gives an answer, something along the lines of that the Balabayas told them to take the Truma from the north side of the pile, and it was taken from the south side. And the Pnei Moshe over there on Yerushalmi has a couple of different possibilities, what that answer means exactly, and how it might relate to our Gemara over here. Okay, anyway. Okay. Next. Eitzvei Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish asked a question that Rabbi Yochanan, not worried about, had. Again, the question from the case of Tumah v'Tahara that we had before. Kola kelim yod hadeh tumah v'machshava. Any keli is able to become tamei by thought alone. They ain't olim v'tumah v'nev v'shinim ma'ase. But again, they're not able to they're not able to leave their ability to become tumah without shinim ma'ase. Ma'ase mo'ti mi'an ma'ase mi'an machshava. Machshava ain't mitzil mi'an ma'ase v'lo mi'an machshava. So, Rish Lakish after Birkin and Bishlema might mead Maisa like Maska. Fine. Again, I can understand why Machshava can't undo Maisa because Loy also did about the Maisa. Elamiad Machshava mead topic. Why can't Machshava undo Machshava? That's the question we had before. And again, the answer is the same as before. Amalei, Shiny Machshava, the Tumah Tiki Maisa dummy. Machshava of Tumah is different. The Torah gives it the power of Maisa. The Chidur of Papa, the Papa Ramik, the Kiyutan, the Kiyutan, the Kiyutan, the Kiyutan, the Kiyutan, the Drumidiyutan, Mayitan, the Nichola, the Kiyutan, the Nichola. So we see that by Tumah v'Tahara, it's the same, that Machshava specifically has the power of Maisa, but not anywhere else.
Is it a motion in Sinai, or it's a...
No, this is a Jerusha based on, I mean, ultimately the Halacha goes back to Moshe v'Sinai, yeah, that's the how we doubted it was left up to the Chachamim, yeah. Going back, by the way, before we continue the discussion, I forgot to mention we were discussing before when it says b'chazrava, you were asking, does it mean that she actually told the shliach or not? So Rashi had said that it means whether she said it in front of the shliach, I'm mevatel your shliach or not. Tosfos says it doesn't have to be even that she said it to the shliach. Of course, if she says to the shliach, I don't want you to mekadesh me, of course, it's obvious. The point is that she was beloy amirof to the shliach without actually telling the shliach. So apparently the idea would be she told it to somebody else. That's our choice. Rashi versus Tosfos to be here.
Rashi says.
So Rashi had said that ben b'fanav ben b'fnei shliach ben shalei b'fanav. So whether the shliach is present or whether or not, either way, the Rabbi Yochanan is saying she can change her mind, and Rabbi Shlokish is saying that not.
Tosfos
is saying that if she says it in the presence of the shliach, she says to the shliach, I don't want you to be mekadesh me. Even Rabbi Shlokish would have to agree that's valid.
Right.
The question would be where she doesn't say it to the shliach.
That would be what
Rabbi Shlokish is saying.
So that was
okay. Next, Esfer Rabbi Yochanan Rosh Lakish. So now Rabbi Yochanan asks Rosh Lakish, and again we have the same questions as before, but out of order in this version of Rizvid. Hashleach get leishtoi. The person sends the shliach to his wife. He gives a shliach, and he met up with the shliach. A shalach after the shliach. He sends another shliach to meet him. Va'amalai get shenafat l'cha bottle. He tells him the get that I sent, that I gave you, is bottle. Harei the bottle. Then the get is bottle. That seems to be a clear contradiction to Rosh Lakish, because there we see that Maisa is able to cancel Maisa. And we don't have the matter of, there's no business of Maisa. Again, you know, here we're not talking about Maisa Rabba or Maisa Zutta or whatever, because the original case, in Rav Zvid, that's the difference. In the original version of Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish's Machlokes, which was our Mishnah, the husband had actually given her, the man had actually given her money for Kedushin. So the Maisa Zutta involved. So we could argue that the difference is a get, there's no Maisa Zutta even in there. There is. Here, the case in the next Perek, which according to Rav Zvid is what Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish are arguing about, there's no giving at all. She verbally appointed the Shliach. So there you have her verbal appointment, the same way as his verbal appointment of a shliach, bring this get to my wife, right, can be canceled by a verbal statement, I don't want him to be my shliach anymore. Why should it be any different? If the woman is sending a shliach to be the Hadashur, and verbally she tells somebody else, let's say, I don't want him to be my shliach anymore. So that's a theater to the shlokish. Yeah, that's in fact a contradiction. And the Gemara says, V'huchza kabaseh d'rabyechnen. As a matter of fact, the halacha is therefore like Rabyechnen. Now, the question becomes, Vafilu b'kamaisa? It's not a question, it's a statement. Vafilu b'kamaisa, even in the first version, in the second version, for sure, we slugged up the shlokish. But even in the first version of the Machlokas that it was referring to our Mishnah, the case where the guy gives money for Kedushin and it's only going to be taking effect in 30 days, there also, even though we didn't contradict, even though we didn't slug up the shlokish over there, the halacha is nevertheless like a b'yechim in there too. Now you could argue, like we did before, that after all, giving her money is considered like a maisa, and therefore you could distinguish. You could say, like Rosh Lakish said before, a dibur can't be mevatel a dibur plus maisa zutta, but it can be mevatel a dibur without. It can be mevatel a dibur stam, like it does by Tumah. So we could argue that. Nevertheless, we don't say that. We say a dibur can be mevatel dibur outright, even if it's accompanied by ma'aseh zibur.
That's the
halacha. That's what we're saying. The question is, though, kasha hilchasa hilchasa. If you're going to say that, but the halacha is like a yechon in both of these cases, then it comes out. You have a contradiction between two known decisions in halacha. Amrit hilchasa de rabbi yechon. Now we're to rabbi yechon. We know number one was saying over here that the halacha is like a yechon. On the other hand, the Kaimel on Hilchos HaKadav Nachman. On the other hand, we have a different case, or actually the case of the case of the of being mevatel the get, where we say that the halacha is like a, is like Rav Nachman. Deboyla, who namely we had a question, we discussed this in Gittin. Mao Shiyakta the Agarishboy, suppose that the husband was mevatel the shlichus for the get, is he allowed at some later point to go and be megarish with this very same get? He said to the shliach, this get is bottle. Does he now have the ability to later on
get say?
Even he said, the Mishnah said, he said, get possession of Hakul HaBafu. Does he have the ability to now go and undo that by saying, you know what, I want to use that get after all? Rav Nachman am a chozu megarishboy. Rav Nachman says he can reuse it later. Rav Sheshes am a ena chozu megarishboy. And Rav Sheshes says that not. Zekai malon hilchos akabasei de Rav Nachman. And we know that the halacha is like Rav Nachman. Now, how would that? How would the halacha be like Rav Nachman? Must be because even though he was mevatel with a get, he was mevatel, but he's still able to use it after all.
Right.
So therefore, what do we have then? So the point is that if the halacha is like Rav Nachman, means that if Osi Dibur Mavatal Dibur, in other words, so he was Mavatal the get, how does he now have the ability to reuse it? That's the question. Having been, if you say like that he doesn't have the ability to be Mavatal that get, then fine. If he only has the ability to be Mavatal the Shliach, let's say fine. But if he has the ability to be Mavatal the actual get, then how is he now able to reuse it?
Saying it.
Yeah. The answer is, in the heat, batlam in terms of shliach, because yes, it's true. Even though he's using the expression get zeshen asatul chabatalu, he doesn't mean the actual get is batal. He just means I'm mevatel you from being a shliach. Mitaras get my batal. He did not actually be mevatel the actual get from being a.
He says I get mevatel. He means you're a shliach, which is mevatel.
Right. Now we actually learned in Gittin that there was a discussion of Rishonim about that. What about if he explicitly says the get itself is bottle? Maybe he doesn't have the ability to do that because the get itself, after all, I mean, the get itself is a perfectly validly written get. He doesn't have the ability to say it's bottle, but he has the ability to say, I'm not going to use it, let's say. Or maybe not. Maybe since it's totally in his rough, then maybe he does have the ability to actually say it is bottle. But here we're talking about that he was just mevatel shliach, so therefore, very well, then the get itself is still valid, and therefore we can use it at some later time.
How do we know the get is bottle, and it means the shliach is bottle, and not the get? How do we know that?
Because he says get shenasaku l'cha bottle, in the sense of bottle with you. But if he says get ze bottle, that's good. That might be different.
Get shenasaku l'cha.
Oh, yeah, then that's the key thing. It's a little bit after 9:30, but now we have there should be a 9:40 minion that we arranged. So, I did actually use the sign that there was signing downstairs that I put. I was discussing it on the Shul WhatsApp group what we're going to do because it's hard for us always to finish by 9:30 sharp.
There's those people coming.
Yeah, so there's people coming. Yeah.
What do you do?
It could even be later on that same day, that's true. No, but well, no, because it's a fair point, but you know, we talked about that the date in the get is the date when it's signed, not necessarily when it's delivered, right? I mean, you know, it could be delivered only a month later. So fine, he wrote it. It's still a valid get. The date on it is still valid. Ultimately, you're going to have 80 Masira anyway. You're going to have 80 Masira that are going to testify when it was delivered and therefore when it's chal. We had quite a bit of discussion in detail about pros and cons of the date and the get and when and what's accomplished by the date of it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think let's the next piece of the new piece, hopefully, for tomorrow.
That's